Hello, I'm Maurizio Mingardi, pastor of Mount Zion Church of Lord. Oh, I'm used to do it now with the other, you know, and I don't use that anymore. Okay, that's going to be bad. All right, praise the Lord. All right. All right. Hello, I'm Maurizio Mingardi, pastor of Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I'm going to continue the series on the spiritual side of COVID-19. This is something that helps us to connect with the time we are in. We have to realize that when things are going on, especially of this dimension, there's always some spiritual implications in many different ways. We are going to really see how this is related to the end time and what the Bible says about this, how we can draw help and direction and benefit from what the Word says in what we have to do at this time, a time like that. Now, we already have been seeing how this is connected to the end times and how really the part of the Bible that has a lot of information on the end times is Book of Revelation. And so we are looking through the Book of Revelation, especially the first three chapters, in which the Word and Jesus give us specific instructions for time like this. And we saw already the direction, the corrections, the instruction that Jesus gave to different churches. And you know, what we had to look at is not the meaning of these churches were something that was just in the past. This is something related to the time in which we are in. So they apply to the church today. And the name of the churches themselves, it's not necessarily the physical churches that were taking there, happening there, although there has been a connection, but it's applied to the type of churches that are available and they are today. And we had to understand how that applies to us. You know, we saw already the Church of Ephesus, which was a spiritual church. We saw the Church of Smyrna. It was actually a persecuted church. We saw the Church of Pergamos, which was a worldly church. And then we saw the Church of Thyatira, which is a deceived church. And for each of them, Jesus analyzed the situation and gave specific instruction on how to overcome and how to be able to cope with the things in the time we are in and remain in connection with God. And the areas in which Jesus especially focused was in the works that we do. I mean, in all of them, talks about their works, and in a way or another, you know, looks at the works and see how important, from his point of view, are. Then there was, you know, looked at love, and the way the love of God is manifested in them. Looks at one common problem with many of the churches was sexual immorality and idolatry. And those are two areas that are really connected with one another, but they are important to understand because they affect our relationship with God. And God very clearly says in many places, like in Exodus 23, verse 3, "You shall have not other God before me." Or in Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." The implication is God doesn't want our heart to be divided between him and other things. He wants us to keep him the first in our life. So we're going to continue this, and we're going to see other churches with other characteristics that may apply to us or not, but they are also giving us instruction on how to deal with those things if they apply to us. So we had the following church is the Church of Sardis. And it starts from Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And to the angel of the Church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." That's really the definition that is about this church. His name that is alive, but is dead. Now, let's talk about, you know, we already explained before how the characteristics of the speaker of Jesus are always related to what he is going to say about the churches. And in this case, he is talking about the seven spirit of God and the seven stars. We saw already the seven stars are, you know, the stars are the leaders of the of those churches, you know, the one that should bring light to, the, to those places and to direct them. And so this is the fact that Jesus has these people that direct in their hand. I mean, he's really interested and connected with them because he wants them to do the work that he calls them to do. But the fact that he's talking about the seven spirit of God is, I think, significant. Because the number seven, number one, means, you know, something that is complete. And Jesus has said that he had the spirit without measure. So if he had the spirit without measure, you know, all the spirit, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit were manifested in him. We're going to see more about that. You know, for example, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out in all the earth." So really, the Holy Spirit operation, you know, that is enable us to see, to understand, and so on, and to operate in the Spirit, you know, were completely manifested in him. And what he's going to relate now is the fact that they, the Church of Sardis, okay, had a name that they are alive, were alive, but they weren't, they were dead. Now, you know, it says before, "I know your works," and then doesn't describe any of the works. So really, the fact that there is mentioned the works and then don't deal about them is evidence that they weren't doing any work. Not only that, but they just have a name of doing something, but really are not doing it. You know, when he's talking about being alive and dead, what he's talking about really simply is talking about spirituality. He's talking about being dead spiritually. That means this church was a backslidden church. It was a church that was not spiritual. It was, you know, and lost the relationship with God. And if it was dead, instead of being alive, the way, you know, people looking at it, seeing that they probably were going through the motions, were going through the religious activities, were going through, you know, the meetings and so on and so forth. But really their beliefs, their standing was not in right standing with God. And so they were not, they had lost the relationship with God and they were dead. See, all the time when talking about dead in the Bible, it refers to most of the time about spiritual death. You know, for example, in Luke chapter 15, verse 24 says, "But this my son," and this is the father and the you know, prodigal son. "But for my son was dead, and he's alive again, and he was lost, and he is found." And they began to make merry. See, the thing is, what's shown here is that when it talks about something being dead, is something that has broken the relationship with God, with the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 says, "But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." So the fact that, you know, saying dead doesn't mean physically dead, it means spiritually dead. There are many other scriptures that we could quote, and I'm going to just give you another because this is important to understand. Now, we can go through the motions of religiosity. We can go through the motions of being a believer, but not having a relationship with God shows that we are actually spiritually dead, you know. And you see, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 said it very clearly, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses." So when we trespass against God, we tend to, because we follow, okay, the uncircumcision of your flesh, I mean, we follow the desires of our flesh, then we lose the relationship with God, and that deals with the situation that many believers do, that because they follow the flesh, they end up backsliding and losing their ability to have received things from God. So this is what's talking about here. This church may have had a relationship, actually it was a church, so it was called out, had a relationship with God, but that relationship had been lost. And now they were backslide, did it, and so they have not, they were dead spiritually. So let's see what Jesus said. He doesn't describe much more. That was enough to disqualify them. That was enough to put them in a position in which God cannot reach them. Okay? So, verse 2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your work perfect before God." That's a pretty strong statement. Okay, this is pretty strong. It says, although, you know, strengthen the things which remain. That means, you know, something was still remaining. You know, they had some memories of what they had to do, of the things that should be there. There may be something there yet. So you're going to see later on what that could be. So the number one thing it says, you know, be watchful. Actually, the translation could be wake up. See, it's a wake up call to the church that is backslidden to do something about it. Okay, and to be strengthened the things that remain. So, you know, just you must have known when you started what to do and how to do it. And we will see better later on this. Excuse me. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." See, the being watchful and be to wake up, okay, it's important to realize so that we may be able to be counted worthy to escape the things, all these things that will come to pass. See, the things that we are coming into, the age, the era that we are coming in, we don't need to go through that. And you're going to see from many of these scriptures, you know, how really it shows what is coming, and that we, by our own decision, by what we do, can change our situation. And we don't have to go through this stuff. We don't have to get through all the problem and the testing and the things that are happening. So we have to, but unless we are watchful, unless we realize what's going on, unless we wake up to our position, then we are not going to be able to do it. And if we are not in that place, praise God, we don't need to go through. But we have to remember that this is there, and it's a warning for believers that they cannot slack off. They cannot backslide. We had to strengthen what we had there. We had to strengthen what we had known. See, in Hebrew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest we drift away." See, it's always easy to be influenced by the world. And the world, the way it's going to influence us, is going to take away us from where God wants us to be. There are many other things, but that involves some factors, some things. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 says, "If we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we judge ourselves, we are chastened by the Lord, and we that we may not be condemned with the world." So the idea is the world, God doesn't want us to end up going through the things that the world goes through. But we had to judge ourselves. We had to examine ourselves. We had to see in the way we are moving away from God's direction. And so we can start lining up ourselves with the Word. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So one of the things that we had to remember is that, we had to manifest what is inside us. You know, in these good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's not, some people say, so it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're born again, the grace of God is with you. Well, they haven't read the Bible, evidently. Because here it's pretty clear that what you do makes a difference. What you do has some implications for your relationship with God. So, let's see. We had to, our works had to be, he's going to see, if we judge our works ourselves, what we do ourselves, then he doesn't need to judge us because we already took action to make sure that we actually do the things that God wants us to do. Following verse, chapter 3, give us more instructions. Just remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come up to you as a thief. And you will not know what the hour I will come upon you. So there is an interesting thing in this verse. Number one is remember. So evidently, if you had a relationship with God, if you're backslided, you must have been okay once. Otherwise, he cannot go back. And if you had that relationship, then you heard something before. So if you just remember the things that you heard, this is the way you are going to be, able to correct yourself, be able to walk right. So this is the things that we have to remember. In Hebrew chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. I want to repeat that because this is so important. Okay, this is so important. We had to give more earnest heed. Be careful what we heard before and see, am I doing yet? I'm moving, I'm acting according to those principles yet. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partaker of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. So this is really holding on to the things that brought us to start with into a relationship with God. See, how then we go back? Well, certainly is not the flesh. The problem is the flesh. Okay. The way it's been shown, as we just talked before, is the Holy Spirit is being born again, is to remain in that state of being born again because we follow God's direction and we are obedient to it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. See, this is a question of, it's not just a decision you made 2 hours ago, 2 years ago, or 20 years ago. What makes a difference is continuing to walk with him day by day. Or we can make mistakes, but our desire should be not to yield to the flesh, but to yield to the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into freedom and truth. The following verse says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, with thanksgiving. So you see the attitude, our thing, is not that it's a hard thing to be a believer or to be a Christian. We are grateful for what was given to us that we didn't deserve in the first place. We can rejoice about it and we hold to those truths because they are the truth that are going to keep our faith going, are going to keep us strong. Praise the Lord. You know, this is taking heed of what we heard is something that is repeated over and over in the Bible. And the reason why it's repeated over and over in the Bible is because we tend to forget. We tend to be distracted. We tend to be caught up by the things that are going on around us that makes us take us away from the things we have learned in the past. You know, in so many places in the Bible talks about this. Like, for example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says, "Then he said to them, take heed to what you hear." And he's talking about the word or about the teaching or about the principle, the doctrines of God. "With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And you, and to you who hear, more will be given." The following verse, 25. "For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." See, there is a normal tendency. What is talking about here? It's talking about the fact that things progress. If you got something, you had the possibility to make that grow. And this is God's desire, to for you to go closer to him. But if you don't care, if you don't make an effort to get closer to God, automatically the other things they're going to impose on you, they're going to take you away from it. So even the things that you have now, you had to look after them. You had to, you know, be ready to protect them against the things of the world. We had to hold fast. And this is a concept that is over and over given in the Bible. You know, like for example, in Galatians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage." You know, the liberty is not talking that you can do anything you want. It's talking about the freedom from bondage that you get when you start doing the things that God wants you to do. And for this reason, you know, the Bible says, "Test all things and hold fast to what is good." See, this is what we had to do all the time. Okay. And the reason is because this is the way we protect ourselves from what is coming. Especially in this day, this becomes even so much more important. You know, in Mark 24, again, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the hour of the Lord is coming. But you know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour of the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken in. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of God is coming at an hour that you do not expect." So you see, we don't know when he's coming, but we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to be waiting for him. Because by our waiting for him, what we do, we ensure that we are not taken away. We are holding fast to the things that are important. We are not losing what we received at the beginning, because the world attraction and the flesh pull us in a different direction. See, this is so important to understand. You know, Jesus' desire is for people to remain with him, for people to be blessed, for people to grow closer to him so that we get all the benefits that he has procured for us. Hallelujah. But you know, it's interesting to see that in this backslidden church, I mean, it's a church that was not having a personal relationship with God anymore, was dead. Even then, in Revelation 3, chapter verse 4, says, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." That is interesting to see. See, even in a backsliding church, there are going to be a few people that actually have not compromised their position. We can see that being true. There are some people that love the Lord and follow the Lord, even if they go into a place where really there is no evidence of being born again or teaching anything. Just they themselves have a relationship with God. But there are only a few. Because as in Matthew chapter 22 verse 14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the ones that are chosen? The one that God chose? No, is the one that they choose to follow what God says to do. Choose to go where God wants them to do. Hallelujah. And for that reason, they behave accordingly. See, it's not just theory, say, oh, I love the Lord. No, it's a question that when you believe something, is manifested in the things you do, in the works you do. And one of the things that happen is that your garments are not going to be defiled by the things of the world. I mean, you're going to be separated from them. And you walk with him in white. That means you're not in darkness. And you see, the thing is, it's more yet the fact that you walk in light with him. That means that this is going to be visible to others. It's not just something that is for you, you know, it's within yourself, what's going on inside, but this is going to be a manifestation. She's talking about garments. That means, you know, the things that you see about the person is the garment that he wears or she wears. And so this is going to be something visible to others. What your relationship with God, what your walk is, the things you do. Hallelujah. And so when we talk about, you know, looking after ourselves, looking after what, you know, being watchful and everything else. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves for all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Evidently, there can be filthiness in the spirit too. Eh? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, it's the fear of God. It's the fear of missing what God wants us to do and to be open to his correction and to be judging ourselves so that we know where we stand at each particular time. That is what makes the difference. Now we're talking about that. So these people, they're going to be a few people, even within these backslidden churches. They're going to follow him. They're going to walk with him. It's going to be evident that they are doing that. And so in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 3 goes on and says, it starts to talk about the blessings that they're going to get. He who overcomes, and he's talking about anybody, even in this church, the one who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment. So you see, the people that those few were already clothed in white garment. But the one that are going to overcome within the church, they're going to be manifesting that because of the way they're going to behave is going to be lining up with the word. And two, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. And three, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. And who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the is saying to the churches. All right. So here he's talking about the blessings. He who overcomes. See, the overcoming is not the question of, say, I'm going to overcome, I'm doing the right thing. No, the overcoming is evidenced by the garments, if you want, or symbolically, or by your action, your behavior. Okay? And the evidence is that you clean up the way you walk, and you have white garments, and people can even see that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, starts says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven, but he who does not, he does the will of my Father in heaven. Many say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice, lawlessness. So you see, this is the key that we often forget. I mean, what we do matters. And what we do should manifest what is going on inside us. chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. So you see, we should not lose heart about doing the right thing. We should not give up. I mean, the implication there is we have a right attitude about doing these things. This is our desire. We should not grow weary. We are not going complaining about having to do the right thing. We don't go around and say, oh, you know, it's hard to be a Christian. See, that attitude is going to plan your defeat. We have to be excited about being able to walk with God, that we can be different from the world. And the difference is going to motivate us instead of being affecting us in a negative way, wanting us to do what the world does. See, one of the impact that that's going to have on us, that he is not going to blot us out of the book of life. That means our relationship with God is not going to be affected. We are not going to be dead. And in this case, these people were dead already. So we are not going to be dead anymore. There is always a chance for us to go back. There is always a chance for us to reconnect with God till we are down here. But we had to make that decision, and we had to be wanting to do it, and we had to start applying it to our life, and we had to start judging ourselves, and we had to start changing our behavior. Our behavior doesn't change because we want to change it. It's because our heart has changed. Because we have repented. This is what it says right there. Okay. So, he is not going to reject us. He is going to accept us back. There is always a way back to God. There is always a way for us to go back to him, to receive what you have. And you know, in here, you can look at from the eternal point of view, and definitely this is important. And God is going to give us always all the chances that he can for us to go to him. But some chances or some actions that we do are affecting the chances we have, the chances of the blessing that he can give us. And one of the blessings that we can forfeit if we don't respond quickly is, if you don't respond before he comes, is that he can come around and we aren't ready. He comes, he will say very clear, he's talking about coming as a thief in the night, coming as someone that we don't know when he's coming and we are not ready and the door is closed and we missed the boat. I mean, that seems to me that it's pretty clearly talking about the rapture. It's talking about the fact that we don't need to go through, and we're going to see even further that, the time of tribulation. We can be free from that because we are ready for him when he comes. And we can take advantage of that situation, time advantage of being pulled out, because remember, that's his desire for this church, not to go through suffering or testing, but to be blessed, to be strengthened, to be manifesting his love and his power in their life, in our life. Praise the Lord. I think that this may be a good point to stop, because I don't think we are going to have time to talk about another church. I hope that you see how much the instruction that Jesus gave us in this chapter, these few chapters that we've been reading, are relevant to us today, are relevant to all the churches, are relevant to us personally. Now, we can have a personal relationship with God even if we are in a church that has some problem, because we don't need to have the problem. You see, our relationship is personal. It's not, we don't need, the thing is, the environment we are in is going to have an influence on us. It's going to affect us in one way or another, and it may make it much more difficult for us to hold on and to hold fast to the things he has given us. Praise the Lord. So let's pray together. Let's pray together that we may apply these principles that we have seen right now today in our life. You know, first of all, our relationship with God is important. What He does with us and He can do with us is dependent on the way we respond to what He has done. What He has done is done. He said it's finished. But there is more that has to happen within us for us to receive today what He has done in the past. And we have to be open to His Holy Spirit to be guided. So, Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You are the God of the second and third and many options. You are always ready to receive us as the father of the prodigal son. And we just pray right now for anyone that for one reason or another have been, Lord, distracted or pulled away from their relationship with You. And we ask You that, Lord, You allow the Holy Spirit to convict them to the place that they can judge themselves in their own behavior, in their own action, so that they can realize and see how the flesh has brought them away from having a relationship with You. And right now we pray that Your Holy Spirit may quicken them. And they may come before Your praise and say, Lord, what do I have to do? And the word of Peter said, first day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, be immersed, be part of a place in which, of a church that is going to give you life and not death. Be part of something that is going to change your behavior as well as your heart is changed. But open your heart. Be awakened to your condition. And if there are areas, even if you are not going through all that way of being backslidden, that you had to come back, just remember the things that you started from. Remember how was your relationship with God? It may feel as it was good and it should be better today. Because your relationship with Him is everything that is going to guide you and strengthen you and enable you to be the person you want to be and to receive the things that God has prepared for you. And so, right now, I pray that you may take that step and that you may say, Lord, yes, I am healed into You. Thank You for what You have done. Thank You for shedding Your blood for me. Thank You for making me capable to receive Your blessings. Thank You for accepting me in my relationship with You and to change my life and my eternal destiny, for giving me eternal life and the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I thought.